We bow our heads together. Father, we are here to commemorate a life well lived in your presence. We're here to draw inspiration and encouragement to live in your presence as she did and is now. We're here to seek solace from your presence for our loss, and to mourn with our friends, and to anticipate the day when we'll all be rejoined together with you, following in your presence. Be with us this evening. Bless every person, every family represented here in memory of our dear friend, family member, sister in you, Sister Black. In Jesus' name we pray. Congregation said. Acts chapter 9 is a depiction of the death of Dorcas Tabitha. To my knowledge, it is the only description of a natural death that is given in the New Testament Spirit-filled church. I think that the Lord left it there for a purpose. We see a picture of the righteous bereaved as they gather in their hands the works of Tabitha. They weep as they hold the garments that she had made. I wonder how long it was before that miraculous recovery happened while they were holding those garments. They showed it to the apostle. I wonder how long it was before somebody realized if we have the pattern, we might be able to reproduce these works. In my life, Sister Allene Black provided a pattern of good works. She was a lady who loved the worship of God. She loved the work of God. She loved the Word of God. And she would tell you that. She loved her family. She loved laughter. I want the pattern of those works to be in my life. I don't want to just hold them and marvel over them and grieve over what's been lost. But I want to see myself and my friends and family carry on those types of works. And I believe that's why we're all here tonight. And I pray that the Lord will bless you as you pursue the works that she left, that we can bring more of those works together to our Heavenly Father. God bless you.
Allene Dorothy Black, age 95, of Olive Branch, Mississippi, passed away peacefully in her home on September 4th, 2018. Nanny was born on August 16th, 1923, to Charlie and Daisy Henderson of Bellevue, Illinois. After receiving the Holy Ghost at Apostolic Pentecostal Church in St. Louis, Missouri, pastored by Reverend Harry Branding, in 1939, she began a new life of consecration to God. On July 30th, 1944, she married former Missouri District Superintendent Reverend Winfred Black, loving and ministering by his side as pastor's wife in both Kansas City, Missouri, at First United Pentecostal Church, or 40th and Harrison, as we call it, and St. Louis, Missouri Apostolic Pentecostal Church, until his death in 1978. She then served her son Terry as he pastored in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and Memphis, Tennessee, for the remaining years of her life. She loved walking with the Lord, meditating and studying the Word of God, encouraging ministers, singing hymns and oldies, reading Westerns and Christian fiction, cleaning house, eating sweets, laughing, giving, and loving people. She is preceded in death by her parents, Charlie Henderson and Daisy McConnell, her husband, Reverend Winfred Black, her sister, June Rivas, her brother-in-law, Bill Rivas, and her grandson, Michael Anderson. She is survived by her daughter, Debbie Sterlich, and husband, Franzik, her son, Terry Black, and Cheryl, grandchildren, Christy Anderson, Becky Dell, and husband, Tony, Crystal Milligan, and husband, Tim, Natalie Huckabee, and husband, Jason, Brandon Black, and 15 great-grandchildren. I'm going to read to you a letter that was sent from Northern Europe. It says, "Dear Debbie, Terry, and all of the family, We greet you from Scotland, and we extend our very sincere sympathy to you at this time of loss. Even though Sister Black has been sick for a long time, it seems none of us are ever quite ready to lose a parent. May the deep and sustaining peace of the Lord surround you at this time. Many memories come flooding back of my young years when Sister Black was my pastor's wife. She was a no-nonsense person for sure. I'll never forget the time she had no qualms about sending me to the pastor's office before church because my dress was too short. I think Brother Branding and Brother Black didn't know what to say about the general superintendent's daughter having too short a dress. Brother Black commented that it looked like my mother had been letting the hem out of my dress, which was true because you could see the marking in the hemline. I was absolutely horrified at this incident, but I certainly respected Sister Black for her stand on holiness and for keeping her eagle eye on what we young girls were wearing. Ironically, all these decades later, I find myself doing the same thing with the young girls in the church we pastor. Debbie, you and I have lots of memories of many times I stayed over at your house on Saturday night after youth service. You and I discussed many things and solved everyone's problems, as if at our young age we really had all the answers. It brings a smile to my face just remembering. Terry and Cheryl, you all have been friends for many years, and we thank you for all your kindness to us the times when we visited you during deputation. Just looking today at a picture of Brother Black, we were both so taken with your resemblance to him, Terry. Recently while speaking, I referred to a song that Sister Black used to sing. It's not the first mile that's so important, but it's the last mile when the day is done. Sister Black certainly finished her last miles of life well, and we rejoice to think of the crown she has won. Our love and prayers are with you all. Bob and Geraldine Chambers Kelly.
I was a young boy. Sister Aline Black was my pastor's wife. When I grew older, she was my pastor's mother. But I always feared her. I remember our church was pretty small when my dad was pastoring St. Louis area. We'd team up with Brother Black and Brother Branding's church. Go to youth convention, and Sister Aline Black would come on that bus and give us all a taste of the lake of fire before we left so that we knew exactly how to behave. And she was always just rock solid. And what a beautiful testimony, all the wonderful people that have come together to honor her today. After 95 years of serving the Lord, we honor this family and all these wonderful guests. Whatever we go through, Jesus knows the way we take. Listening for a voice I haven't heard, but I've made my choice. I'm gonna stand to the closer than a brother, he's been to me. And he said in his word, he never, never, he would never leave. When I look to the north, I look to the south, and I cannot see him. I look to
it would be fitting of Nanny Black if we just stood to our feet, lifted up our hands, and begin to worship the Lord. There's no one that exemplified the testimony of that song better than Nanny Black did. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. We feel your presence in this house. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I represent just one of two on this list here to speak about such an extraordinary lady that made such an indelible print upon all of our lives. And it was because I married into this extraordinary family. So thank you, Dad, Mom, for allowing me this opportunity to honor Nanny here today. My first introduction to Nanny influencing my life was a very pivotal moment in my life. I had moved from my home in Illinois to Memphis, and it was at a particular time that was full of questions and uncertainty. And I can remember walking into Whitehaven United Pentecostal Church and greeting Nanny there and talking to her just for a moment like I did every Sunday that I was there. But this time she recognized something in me that knew that I needed to hear a word from the Lord. That was just like Nanny Black. She was perceptive. And so she asked this young man who thought he was masking everything so well to sit down on the couch with her. And I will never forget what she began to speak into my life. You see, at that time, I never knew much about Nanny's past. About the only thing that I did know was that her husband, Brother Winford Black, had passed away suddenly. I didn't know how drastically her life had changed. I didn't know the story about her leaving what was home to her, traveling thousands of miles away to an unfamiliar place to help to plant a church with her son and daughter-in-law in Vancouver, British Columbia. I didn't know about her struggle through all that. I didn't know about God sending a messenger into her life at a pivotal time on the West Coast in L.A. on a pier. I didn't know any of that. Now, please don't misunderstand me here today. Our two situations could not even be closely compared. But on that day, I got to hear from a woman who lived a life unto the Lord of trusting in God. And she began to speak to me. I will never forget her quoting Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I thought, who is this woman? Why is she taking the time to talk to me? But there was never a moment in my life where I needed to hear a word from the Lord more than that moment. And she perceived that, and she set me down on that couch, and she stuck her finger in my face like only Nanny Black could. And she said, son, it's not over. God's hand's on your life. It's not an accident that you're here today, that God has purposed you for this city in Memphis, and he's purposed you to become a friend of my son and to become a part of this ministry team long before I ever heard anything. And I'm going to tell you something, Dad. There were times I'd walk by thinking, when is he going to say something? Because I got a prophecy from Nanny. Man, when you got a prophecy from Nanny, you could stand on that. She spoke to me that God's hand was on my life. And that was really all that I needed coming from a seasoned veteran like her who had lived it. We have so many funny stories Huck and I was relating. How in the world do we keep it concise today? And certainly we're going to endeavor to do that. I'll never forget coming over to her house, and it was just her that particular morning, and she was sitting down with her cup of coffee, and it revolutionized my prayer life, especially because she was drinking coffee at the time. I thought I would take the moment, take advantage of it, and said, Nanny, tell me about your prayer life. And thinking that I was going to hear some just deep details about how to get closer to the Lord, she said, well, Tim, let me tell you how my prayer life begins. She said, I get up in the morning, and she said, I make my way into this kitchen here. And she said, I put the grounds in the filter in the coffee pot, and I put the water in the coffee pot, and I sit down and watch it brew, and I make my way to the coffee pot and pour me a cup, and I sit down and talk with the Lord. And then she just paused, and I thought, is that it? She said, son, don't you believe that God is a present God, always with you at all times? Don't you understand that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble? And so you can sit down with your cup of coffee just like I'm sitting down with my cup of coffee, and you can enjoy time with the Lord. I'm telling you, that revolutionized my prayer life. No longer did I feel like I had to get red-faced, and no longer did I feel like that I had to intercede for 2 hours before the Lord. But the moment I woke up, I could have a nanny prayer with a cup of coffee, and I knew that the Lord was hearing me. That was the kind of wisdom that Nanny imparted. Amen. I'll never forget making a trip to St. Louis family. This was before we were even family, but we made it. They were out on the West Coast, and I believe her daughter is here. Kay Hartzell's daughter is here. I got to see him in the line just a little bit ago. But Kay had passed away, and I received a call from Brother Black, and he said, hey, Tim, he said, very important person in Nanny's life has passed away, and there's no way that we can make it back in time. Would you be willing to drive Nanny to St. Louis? Well, man, I was loving that. That was just 4 hours from Memphis to St. Louis with undivided time with Nanny, and then the night there together at Pop's house and all of the different things that went into it. I'll never forget taking her to St. Louis for that funeral. And whenever we got done with all that, she said, I'm going to treat you on your way home. He said, we're going to go to Lambert's to the Throat Rose. We're going to get us a good dinner. It's my treat. Thank you for taking me. And so I remember pulling into Lambert's, and we got in there, and I was bragging on her. I said, Nanny, I'm going to catch the row for you, and we're going to eat good. And she was like, well, that sounds good, son. So the guy pulled one of the rolls out and began to throw it, and he did not judge it very well. And it hit the corner of the booth and literally blew up in Nanny and I's face. And she looked over at me and said, I thought you were going to catch that. On the way home, that dinner started to get to me. And pardon me just for a moment. I found I needed to find a restroom. And I should have said something to Nanny, because anybody that knows me knows that I like a clean bathroom. So I had pulled into a hotel thinking this is a much better place than the gas station is. Pulled into the hotel, didn't say a word to her, got ready to get out of the car. She looked over at me and said, are we getting a room? Oh, Lord. But that was Nanny Black, and every one of you that knew her have your own story here today. And that's what makes an extraordinary life. I was affected deeply by knowing her, by being around her, by the conversations over the years with her. I loved it when she would tell me stories about Papa Black. I wished I would have met him. I loved it even more when she would tell me that I prayed with people in the altar like he did. I loved every moment we had together. I miss her greatly. It's an honor. Thank you all for being here and honoring her with us. God bless you.
Amen. I want to keep my comments as short as possible since Brother Milligan took much of my time. But we would like to acknowledge all the ministry that's here tonight. So if you're here and you represent ministry, why don't you stand across the room? Amen. Amen. Why don't we give our ministry a hand? Amen. Thank you for being here. You can be seated. I choose a scriptural reference from Pawpaw Black's 1958 General Conference message. It was Psalm 16:6. It says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." What a lady, what a life, what a legacy. I have a unique perspective that very few here today might have. I have never heard Nanny sing, teach, watched her direct a choir, or lead in any official capacity. She wasn't the pastor's wife or the superintendent's wife when I met her. She was Natalie's nanny, and she was good at it. Her chocolate cake was wonderful, her prayers impacting, and her wisdom immeasurable. Make no mistake about it, she sang, she prayed, she preached, and she prophesied, all from the comforts of her green rocking chair at Hillsdale Cove. Nanny was a legend to all of us. She was bigger than life. A legacy is what is passed by way of benefaction or inheritance. Nanny Black passed to her family principles. I will call them lessons from a legend. She lived every day as if Jesus were coming today. Both in lifestyle and communication, she made it adamantly clear that Jesus was coming and this could be the day. In fact, Dad Black recalls the story of the visit to his elementary school when they began to inquire about the lessons that were incomplete. The teacher said, "Well, Terry says the reason he's not completing his work is because of the rapture." She said, "I'm not sure exactly what the rapture is. But if you walked by her room, she was praying or reading her Bible or singing. However, the coming of the Lord was never far from her mind, whether by rapture or Bloody Lindy. She was preparing to meet Jesus, and that's how she approached her day." Nanny taught us that you should always make your family a priority. If you spent the night at the Black's house, she would have your clothes washed, dried, and back in your bedroom chair before you ever woke up. She kept a candy stash. She baked cakes. I even returned from a trip one time to find she had washed my truck. But perhaps what she was best at is being sensitive to where you were and what level of encouragement that you needed. "God is going to use you," she'd say. "I'm praying for you." Or she would have some story that Pawpaw Black would have told in that very moment. Her life was a shrine to Pawpaw Black. She said, "When you've had the best," talking about Pawpaw Black, "everything else is downhill from there." To her, she had the best kids, and nobody had grandkids like hers. Nanny also taught us that there was no greater calling than lost people. When called to Kansas City, she told the story of not having money to buy a coat, but she prayed. And an aunt from St. Louis sent a check for the exact amount to the penny of the coat she had picked out of the shopping center window. From nights without food to Thursday night outreach, playing the accordion on the corner of the street, to knocking on the door of Rose Hathaway's house. Pawpaw Black was the preacher, but she was his equal in faith. A sweet saint told a story after we moved to Kansas City. That one night as the choir was singing, that Nanny turned and walked off the platform. In her words, "When she got a hold of me, all I remember is that when we came to, we were both talking in tongues." No wonder they filled up churches because they didn't talk about revival. They lived it. They had no greater calling than lost people. Nanny taught us that life is better filtered through humor. When I met Nanny, perhaps it was the thing that most attracted me to her was her gifted sense of humor. She always had a funny comment, a look, or rolled her eyes a certain way. I used to greet her with, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?" To which she would always respond, "Good looking, I'm 100 years old, are you blind?" One of my favorite stories is the story she told of the night they were reading in bed. She had fallen asleep and he had turned out the light. She said, "I would eat with chocolates on my chest. I would read and eat." She said, "Papa reached over and put his hand on me, and when he did, the chocolate had melted. He thought I was bleeding to death. He started screaming, which sent her into a frantic run, only to turn on the light and find out the chocolate had melted." Perhaps my favorite story is she was endeavoring to convince this Tennessee boy that we should all be buried in St. Louis. She said, "Huck, let's all be buried in St. Louis. We have plots there. Let's all be buried in St. Louis." I said, "Nanny, I don't know." And she said, "Well, we need to be buried there. I've got an extra plot if you'll come be buried in St. Louis." She said, "Now, you'll have to buy two because they're never going to get you in one." Nanny taught us that the Holy Ghost never gets old. When Alzheimer's was in its beginning stages, Nanny stopped us in the foyer of the Black's house, held our hands to have prayer. She said, "Huck and Nat, God is about to give you a house." Nanny said, "No, Nanny, that's Tim and Chris. They're building a house." For the next several weeks, as we would visit her, she would hold our hand and affirm to us that we were getting a home, to which Natalie would always respond, "Nanny, that's Tim and Chris. They're building a house." Until about 3 weeks later, we bought a home, and we found out that the Holy Ghost was more powerful than Alzheimer's. Today we sit here and celebrate that the Holy Ghost still today is more powerful than disease. John chapter 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciples, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Hanging on the cross at Calvary, suffering the excruciating agony and misery of ministry, amid the jeers of unbelievers and taunts of Pharisees, enduring head wagging and tongue lashings, despite the crown of thorns peering through eyes stinging with sweat and clouded by blood, one person caught his eyes, his mother. Of the multitude gathered around the cross, the need of his mother demanded his personal attention. While Jesus was shedding his blood for our sins and our salvation, he wasn't too busy to notice his mom. Hands filled with nails were not too full to provide for his mother. Feet fastened to the cross could not keep him from her. in face of death, he would assure that his mother had life. A great accomplishment in his ministry would be in his caring for his mother. I would say to you, Mom and Dad, Aunt Debbie and Uncle Franzik, that Jesus was never more God and never accomplished more in ministry than while he cared for his mother. And I want to personally say that watching you over this last several years care for this feeble mother, you have never been more anointed or stood in a more powerful pulpit than you did at her bedside. And I honor you today for that investment.
Praise the Lord. After they went, I just feel like I just can say, you can go home. Everything I have on my sheet is, you know, wrapping up. I think we have a common sense here that Nanny loved us with everything inside of her. She traveled back and forth between Chicago and Memphis. And I had the privilege of riding with her a few times from Memphis to Chicago. And all she talked about was God. I had a calling on my life. And I know that each one of us, grandchildren, she has had intimate moments with throughout our life. And every time I went to Memphis, me and my sister and my brother, we would fight to sleep with her. Everyone rotated beds. Even with everybody on my Uncle Terry's side, we all rotated beds. We all fought. Who's going to sleep with Nanny? And one night she was like, I'm not sleeping with anybody. But we fought to be with her, and she fought to be with us. And I just wanted to say a few things about her. She was always funny. Again, the census is, she's hilarious. She made us laugh every single moment of her life with us. We were at a dinner table, you know, as families do, you know, have a little argument here and there. And she just stood there calmly with her hands around herself, twiddling her fingers, and she waited for all of us to pay her attention. She was just smiling really big. And we all looked, and we were like, wow. She had no teeth. She pulled out her dentures, and she was trying to get us all to stop fighting. So the best way to do that was to, you know, get us all to laugh and forget about our problems, and that's what she did all of the time. So that was, again, all the trick every single time to get us to stop, you know, our arguments. But most importantly, through everything, through our visits, through our trips, our sleepovers, she taught us how to pray. If you had to sleep with Nanny, you were going to pray at night. And you weren't going to stand up and pray. You weren't going to get in the bed and pray. You were going to get on your knees and you're going to pray. And she was going to teach you how to pray and intercede over your friends, over your family, over your loved ones. And just as Tim had said, again, it's in my paperwork, she told us forever about the visit on the pier in California from an angel. And she instilled in us to always be kind to strangers. It doesn't matter. And I go back to Hebrews 3 and 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for therefore, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The legacy Nanny has left with us is the power of prayer, reading and studying the word, being open to the voice of the Lord, and loving our family with such intensity that we would think twice about doing something wrong because we knew Nanny would know, because we knew the Lord would tell her. So, and, you know, on a side note, seriously, my prayer life with God has stemmed from my grandmother. It is a legacy that has been passed down. I would call my grandmother. I know my mother is called my grandmother. I know my uncle is called my... What did the Lord... Did you hear the Lord? Did the Lord tell you something before we wanted to even make a move? We knew that if the Lord told Nanny, it was solid. It was okay to do. So we lived our life, you know, sometimes on her back in the prayer life until we were able to kind of pick up and do one for ourselves. And then we've now in turn brought that into our children's life. And now all of our children are in church. And all of our children attend services. And they have a prayer life of their own. And that is the greatest thing that Nanny has given us, was sacrifice, love, family, and being a servant to the body of Christ and to our family. And I just wanted to say, Nanny, on behalf of all the grandchildren, we love you. And I'm done. So, Brandon.
I'm Brandon. She was my grandma. I'm pretty sure that concludes my time. You guys, no. Thank you all for being here. Many of you know her as Sister Black. Many of you know her as Nanny. Many of you know her as Grandma. I know her simply as Dorothy. The legends just need one name. And Dorothy was it. You guys, you got prophecy. You got lessons from a legend. I got a 2-cheeseburger meal every single day in the school line for McDonald's and the need for a gym membership. I got Reese's Cups and nights watching Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is now one of my all-time favorite movies. I'm glad you two boys went first with the spiritual stuff, because it's just story time with me now. I have no notes. We're just going to riff a while. Thank you for being here. You got prophecy. You got legends. My grandma made me cry. And she made me cry one night when we were up in the playroom, as we did every night, basically. And we were listening, how fitting, here in St. Louis to KMOX, the voices of Jack Buck and Mike Shannon blaring through the playroom. And I asked my grandma who she was cheering for that night. My grandma couldn't care less about baseball. I do, at times. And she told me a team that wasn't the St. Louis Cardinals. And boy, soon did she realize that she had made a mistake. As the tears began to flow, she learned quickly where her loyalties needed to lie. My grandma made me cry. In a good way. Last week, she made me cry again. As she finally is home, finally is with Pop Black yet again, and I'm so proud and honored to carry his name with me. She is finally free and healed and safe and happy, and as much as we would want her to still be here, she wouldn't come back for all the beans and all the hills and all of those things that she would used to say to us. And I was telling Crystal, as we were standing there at about 6 o'clock, as we'd been going through this quite a while, we had reached the point where Nanny and I, if she were still here, would have already been long gone and back to the hotel room because we had things to do and candy to eat and, you know, we just had things to do. And so I have so many stories. I'm going to take my a couple minutes here. Nanny was the only one I could never get anything over on. If you know me at all, you know sometimes I mumble on purpose to try to get you to say what. And, you know, many of you have been gotten by that in this room. Yep, what's up? Nanny, automatically, whenever I would just begin my own and, you know, stuff like that, would just punch me in the arm and say, "Shut up, you idiot." She knew who she was dealing with, what she was dealing with, and she just wasn't going to take it. I find it interesting that Nanny put the fear of God into many of you. I didn't get that side too much. I was spoiled. That's the word for it. But as I consider the legends, our lessons from a legend, and the prophecies and the things that Nanny gave you, I realize that I may be the luckiest of all because I got time. 31 years of a 95-year run. I got time as I'd walk up the steps every night and see her on her knees by her bed, calling every single family's member's name one by one, several of your names one by one. I got a firsthand education of what perseverance looks like. I got a firsthand experience of what true love and devotion and loyalty looks like. I got to drive the legend to church every night. I got to drive the legend home from church tonight and then make a turn when she'd elbow me and say, hey, you hungry? And I knew that that meant you are hungry. We are going to Wendy's. You are getting me a Frosty and a cheeseburger, and then we'll go home and eat it together. I got a moment in 2004 on the way to church when a certain center fielder hit a certain walk-off home run, and I couldn't do anything but lift my arms up as we were driving to church and scream yes, because we had won the game and we're going to game 7. But I was also driving the car, and down the hill we go toward Plantation Golf Course, and there comes that fist again. Brandon, you're going to kill us. What are you doing? Sorry, Nanny. I almost made you cry that time. I got time with a legend. I got time in that bedroom while she would read her Louis L'Amour or her Bible, and I got to be next to her. I got to see firsthand what it means to have a prayer life and the necessity of His will over mine. I got to see firsthand what a servant's heart looks like. I got to see what it was like when you went to play softball with your buddies and you came home and all of your clothes were already ironed and washed and back on the hanger, and my friends are like, what is going on here? And I was like, that's Nanny. That's a servant's heart. I got to see what Pop Black meant to her. I got to know him without ever meeting him. I get to see him lived out in Aunt Debbie and Dad. I got time when Crystal and Natalie moved out, where her and I just kind of grew up together in my parents' home. I got time, and I'm so thankful that as the time began to run out, and even when the memory began to fade, and even when the recognition wasn't necessarily there anymore, that the hearts could still have conversations. And that I would know that when I walked into the room, it may not be her normal self there anymore, but I could still see that red Ford Taurus sitting out in the parking lot at school waiting on me. And I could still remember those trips to Old Charlie's and those nights reading whatever detective book I was reading as she read her Bible or Louis L'Amour. I still could remember those moments, her acts of service, her telling me, Brandon, no matter how this life plays out, it's always His will above yours. Brandon, love truth. Brandon, never sell that. Brandon, you have a purpose. Brandon, there's something worth protecting there. And so I'm thankful for time. I'm thankful for the moments upstairs in the playroom when she'd sit with me when I was just doing homework or writing a paper. I'm thankful for 31 good years. I'm thankful for the legacy she leaves. I'm thankful for every single second of the 31 years I had with her. And there's a thing we used to, as we would wrap up another edition of Cardinals Baseball, and she would listen with me quite often. If you know Jack and Mike at all, you knew they wrapped up a broadcast. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Dorothy, you brought it to us. Man, did we enjoy it. And until we meet again, so long for just a while.
I'm not on the program, but I wanted to say a few words to express my appreciation and my family's appreciation for your attendance tonight. Thank you for taking the time to honor Mother. The ministry that's represented here. The organizational leadership that they served. The people that have driven, all of you that have driven long distances to sacrifice an evening, a day, to express your love and in honor of her life is very meaningful to all of us. And I want you to know that we thank you for it. Debbie asked me to say some things. She mentioned it 2 or 3 days ago, and I protested up until just today, in fact. And then she made the statement. She said, well, if you don't say something, you might regret it. And I thought, well, today I thought I probably am going to regret it if I don't. Everything that I've essentially that I'm saying to you in the next moment or so, I've said to her often, many times. She knows. But it just seems fitting. I didn't realize when she became my mother, September 14th, 1957, I had no way to possibly know how good God was to me on that particular day. And since that day, 1 second upon another to this very day, the Lord has continued to consistently reveal to me what He is all about through her. Conviction, unconditional love, mercy, humor, passion, vision, encouragement was all wrapped up in her. No wonder my dad chose her to walk next to him in life and ministry until Jesus took him. She was the perfect complement to his personality and his calling. He would tell you quickly that Aline was the biggest part of his success. She had a keen sense of humor, a dry wit, tireless work ethic. She inherited from her dad, Papa Charlie, and her mom, Grandma Daisy. She used to laughingly joke to my dad when we were living on Forest State here in St. Louis, after a hard day's work of washing windows or whatever, especially the window part, that the neighbors thought she was his maid. She always made sure that her family was first. She worked just as diligent in the kingdom of God, however, as she did anywhere else. She loved all of it and discharged her responsibilities with love and excellence. Her life was God, family, and church. She walked by Daddy's side, managing his vision in every possible way within her giftings, which were many. She sang before Daddy preached all over the world, many occasions. There was no preaching at all as the altars filled up because of the anointing that was upon her in that service. 60-plus camp meetings, even more general conferences, countless church services, thousands baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I've watched her through the years at church camp meetings and other venues make her way through the altar from person to person, praying hundreds of people through to the Holy Ghost in her own quiet way. She didn't draw attention to herself, but she was highly effective in ministry. She let me know early in her single again life that after being married to your daddy, there is no way I'm going to cuddle up to some other man. Your daddy was the best I could ever hope to have, and there is no point to look for another. I'm content. And I learned that even more again when Uncle Bill came to live with us. Uncle Bill's wife, my mom's sister, died, and Uncle Bill came to Memphis to live with us from Tucson, and after he was there a few years, Nanny used to say often, I wish I just had my own little house, and I could cook my own meals. And one day I got to thinking, well, Nanny and I were riding to dinner together in the car, just her and I said, Mother, do you still want your own little house? She said, I really would like that. I said, would you like to cook your own meals? And she said, I sure would. Have companionship? She said, yes. I said, well, why don't you marry Uncle Bill? And she didn't speak to me for a week. Seriously didn't speak to me for a week. So I never mentioned that again. My dad is my inspiration, my hero, but in part that's due to my mom. Her love, devotion, and support for him was exemplary. She loved her entire family, and upon becoming a widow at the age of 55, she has spent the last 39 years ministering first and foremost to her family. To Cheryl and I, she was the reason we never had to worry as we traveled through the years in ministry, because Mother lived in our home. Crystal, Natalie, and Brandon had her care and oversight, in addition to us as parents. Also, she was always a blessing to the churches that she attended. Never was there a more fierce advocate for ministry and family than Aline Black. We call her Nanny now. She has 6 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren. Her faculties are waning. Now she's in heaven. She's better off than ever. And even though she cannot articulate to us in the flesh now, we still enjoy her sense of humor. We still are affected by her love, not only for her family, but inspired by her love for God. In a very recent hospital stay, Cheryl, myself, and Crystal, and Natalie, and Debbie would take shifts to be with her during her stay. I was sitting with her during my shift when, out of the blue, she lifted her hands toward heaven. She lifted both of her hands and began to speak. I couldn't understand what she was speaking, but it was otherworldly. At the end of her praise, she looked toward the ceiling. She looked through the ceiling. And she said, you are just beautiful. I was reminded at that moment that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that love them. Nanny, I honor you today for the great lady that you were. We're all happy that God loaned you to us. We will greatly anticipate the day that our family is whole and together again. Sleep. And one day we'll see you soon.
I'm testing that chair just a little bit because nothing would be more profound than after that beautiful message for this little stool to collapse, which happened to Pastor Debbie one time in Chicago, playing the organ on a live broadcast. And next thing I knew, there was wood flying everywhere and she was laying in the floor. Pastor Terry, Pastor Cheryl, Pastor Debbie, Pastor Francis, how proud Mother Black would be to see all four of you in ministry today. And I just want you to know that I was sitting here thinking along with everybody else tonight. Being from Chicago, our family, because of my grandfather, Pastor Calvin Albert, here in Missouri, we wound up in Chicago. I've heard my mother and my uncle talk about it many times because, in large part, Winfred and Aline Black. And so, family, on behalf of not just the over 6,000 members in our church, but many churches in Chicago, saw Pastor Dan Thacker, many, many other churches in Chicago, we are all standing on the shoulders because they cared not just about St. Louis, but they loved Chicago. And we stand on their shoulders and we say thank you. Thank you for what your family gave to us. I cannot fail the Lord. I cannot fail the Lord. He has never failed me yet. Every promise he has kept, and I cannot fail the Lord. I cannot fail the Lord. I cannot fail the Lord. He has never failed me yet. Every promise has kept, and I cannot fail the Lord. I've had some good days, and I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and sleepless nights, but when I look around and I think things all over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low, I'd really like to see them go. So I ask this question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Although my weeping eyes just cannot see, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been good to me. Oh, yes, He's good to me. More than this old world could ever be. God's been so good to me. My tears away. He even turned my darkest nights right into day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I cannot fail the Lord. I cannot fail the Lord. He has never failed me yet. Every promise He has kept. And I cannot fail the Lord. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. For I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. We know, Sister Black, there are joys that await you since you've gone your last mile of the way. Mother, you've gone the last mile of the way.
Would you just thank the Lord together for the faithfulness of this great lady? Lord, we thank you for her faithfulness and your faithfulness to her and to us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Our pastor, Winfred Black, was our shepherd. And right beside him, Aline Black was a true shepherdess. Sister Aline Black has remained, and always will be, my pastor's wife. When I would watch live-streamed services that I knew she was attending, I would sit in the desk back there and try to talk to the camera operator and say, just pan a little bit more because I know where she's sitting. And sometimes it happened. There was something that her life, her love, her godly testimony served into my life that the longer I lived and that she lived, the more I hungered and longed for. Along with many other young people, several which are here tonight, and then young couples, she took me as a teenager and Becky and I as a young couple under her protective spiritual wing. Sometimes that protective wing, while protecting us from some things, served a dual role, and I received a reprimand spanking a time or two from that protective wing. One Saturday night, we went on a TPing rampage. Yeah, Deb, you were there. And I got a feeling she probably took the brunt of it, and others of us that received the reprimand. She took me into a little Sunday school class, and I'd had some great lessons in that same Sunday school class, but the lesson I got that day, I remember it until this day. We knew she loved us and believed in us, and more than once she did what you've heard her do for others tonight, spoke words of affirmation into our lives and into our ministry. On multiple occasions, there were those talks, counsel, spiritual guidance as we were making some life-determining decisions. After we assumed the pastorate of APC, she honored us with a respect that more often than not left us walking away feeling and thinking, how and why in the world do I deserve that respect and that kindness from my pastor's wife? She gave it. Sister Black grew up at APC as a young girl who faithfully served the Lord, and I believe that Pastor Branding saw something special in her life in those teen years. And I understand from a few stories she told, she probably got away with a little bit more. Not misbehavior, but maybe even calling his hand. At one time he had taught about drinking coffee. And she and Brother Black had traveled to Germany, and in the midst of their visiting with the missionary just said, we had such a good time with Pastor Branding, we just sat around and drank coffee. And she said, stop, what did you just say? And he repeated, not knowing, when she got back, she said, Pastor, I was talking to the missionary over there. And do you know what he said? And she related it. He said, oh, Aileen, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. She taught us. She organized Sunday school ministry. She discipled new converts. I have some lesson sheets still in the back of lessons that she taught in those pre-service classes that were held. She mentored members, and she ministered to us in song, and she exemplified the Lord in his holiness and his righteousness, and all of that inspiring us to serve him like she did. On behalf of our APC family, we genuinely give honor to her and her ministry to us. And we are very, very thankful, and we'll never forget the legacy that she made and left at APC. The prophet Daniel wrote, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Sister Black was a shining star. In fact, a north star. Because of its placement and its stability, the north star is an unchanging reference point. It serves to guide, and it's a reliable gauge of true north. If you find yourself lost without a compass or GPS, if you can find the North Star, it becomes a reliable gauge of true north. Aileen Black, for so many of us, was and will remain an unchanging point of reference when it comes to values and apostolic truth. She guided us in good times and other times. Her life and now her memory serves as a reliable guide of true north. Thank you, Sister Aileen Black. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Nanny. Thank you, our pastor's wife, for helping us find our direction and being such a reliable source of biblical lifestyle and life truths. Because of you, we are headed in the right direction. And one of these days, we're all going true north. The reason she could point us true north, heavenward, is because she believed there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds. No more tears to dim the eyes. All will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a day. A glorious day. When we see our Lord and when He receives us, would you just thank Him together for the wonderful hope that we have? I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for that hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you join together and let's sing this great anthem of hope? Yes.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky.
Sister Black, we still believe it. She sung that song many times, heard many messages with that same thing. She lived it. She believed it. We're going to hold on, and we're going to lift up, and we're not going to let the banner of her legacy drag in the dirt, but we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I would like for us to conclude this service with a prayer, thanking God for her and her impact upon all of us. And there are so many stories in this room. that were written with the pen of her life. Would you thank God for that? But along with that, I want us to pray a covering over her wonderful family. Debbie, Terry, Ronzi, Cheryl, grandchildren. I want us to pray the covering of the Lord. And I'm going to ask various ones of you, just whoever feels, please don't be bashful. I want you just to perhaps come up and stand beside or lay your hand upon this family in these first few rows here. And we're going to touch them with our faith and with our prayers and asking for the touch and the anointing and the covering and the blessing of the Lord, especially at this time, but throughout the rest of their life. Would you join together right now and let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you now. Hallelujah. I want to thank you now for Sister Black. I want to thank you for her life and for her legacy. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Oh, God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost is in the house, folks. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Just a moment, the family is going to be escorted from the sanctuary, but before they leave, and then they will be taking Sister Black. Thank you for remembering this wonderful lady. And she will not fade. Her impact will not fade. In fact, I believe it's going to increase. Thank you for honoring her and honoring this family. I know that they appreciate it so very, very much. God bless you.
I'm sorry, but I need to do this. It'll only take 30 seconds. Since 1978, December 28th, when Daddy died, this church committed to a financial responsibility for my mother. Every month, for almost 40 years, a commitment at the time that was not wholly and completely accepted. Wasn't the most popular decision at the time. And I can't let this service go by. Thank you. And to the Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Steve, thank you. Every month for 40 years, it's made the difference in this lady's life. And if there was some way to express to this church and to this wonderful pastor, you're my brother-in-law, but you're a wonderful pastor to this church, how much I appreciate that and what it meant to my mother, I would surely do it, but this seems to be the setting, and I felt like that I would be shirking my opportunity if I didn't say it in front of everybody here. Thank you, Apostolic Pentecostal Church, for loving my mother.
Some debts you never can fully pay. But it was an honor to try. We are honored. Our directors are going to be coming at this time, and family will be escorted, and then Sister Black. And if you would just remain where you are, and you can be seated if you desire.
When we all see Jesus.
Paul Bearers, would you come to where the directors come and see the directors, please?
Stand together, please. See Jesus, we will sing and shout. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Victory. God bless you, and thank you for honoring this wonderful family and this great lady. And you're dismissed in Jesus' name.